That was such a moment in time, though, for this team because, I mean, think about it. Like, when Steve Kerr came in, you know, first of all, I was one of those guys who was like, wait a minute, you got rid of Mark Jackson? Like, why?
Yes.
You know, he's a guy that brought this team to the playoffs 2 years in a row. This team has an identity. The only reason they didn't get out of the first round was because all their freaking centers got hurt. I could see this team making progress. And, you know, I don't think that Jack would have got them an NBA title the next year, but I think that the success was going to be on the horizon for this team regardless. They were getting ready to take that next step. I think that's pretty clear. But what Kerr did, not only was he able to sell to David Lee and Andre Iguodala this notion of coming off the bench, which kind of makes that unit stronger, but what it also did was it empowered Draymond Green and it empowered Harrison Barnes, who, if these guys were coming off the bench, like, you know, then they're just role players, right? And then they're just, you know, they're getting their spotty minutes and, you know, maybe some nights they play, you know, some nights they don't play as much. But to put those two young players in the starting lineup, that built their confidence so much, and that he was able to sell to really Iguodala. Because the David Lee thing, you're right. Early in the year, Lee was injured, and you thought maybe he will reassume his starting role. But then it was like, bro, if it ain't broken, like, why are we trying to fix this? We're playing great, so just stay in that role. And obviously it ended up working out well. But I think that was such an important move that Steve Kerr made to just because it was winning on two fronts. It was you put these young players in there and empower them, but then it also makes your bench like just so much more powerful with like veteran leadership, and you got a couple of cards you can play. Like, you know, if you get off to a slow start, I mean, that's why a guy like Lou Williams is so valuable as a sixth man, because, oh, we're a little stagnant right now. Well, I got a guy that can come off, you know, off the bench and give me 20 on any given night. I mean, for the Warriors that year, oh, Curry and Clay are having a tough night shooting the rock. Well, guess what? I can bring in Iguodala, or I can bring in David Lee, who bring a totally different dynamic to the game. And I thought that that was huge on both fronts.
Yeah, but maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought Mark Jackson was the one who made David Lee, or when David Lee got hurt, I think he was the one who empowered Draymond Green.
But when Steve Kerr took over, because David Lee was hurt early in the year,
yes,
in Steve Kerr's first year as a Warriors coach. I do remember that without a doubt. And he made those two guys starters. Now, he may have gotten some starts in Jack's final year. That may have happened. But Steve Kerr, out of training camp, said, my starters, Clay,
you're right,
Steph, Bogut, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green. And it was like, well, wait, you're going to start Draymond and HB over David Lee and Andre Iguodala? And for those two veterans, because I remember Kurt talked a lot about that, like, he had to, and it wasn't like it was a hard sell to David Lee and Andre Iguodala, but those guys had to be willing to accept that. And, you know, a lot of veterans, you know, it's about, in the NBA, it's a lot about, you know, seniority. Quite frankly, it's a lot about who's making what kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
And Kerr was able to say to them, this is going to make us better as a squad. And thus, kind of that strength and numbers mantra was born.
Yeah, people forget Harrison Barnes that first year. His
Black Falcon son?
Well, he scored 20 points as a 20-year-old and had never been done in a Warrior uniform. Like, in a playoff game, that was a big, big deal. I know that everybody remembers clearly the Nuggets series when the Warriors kind of arrived on the scene. But for me, it was the Black Falcon against the San Antonio Spurs when he was just lifting off. They could not guard Harrison Barnes in that particular first couple of games. I think it was 1-3. He hit so many little elbow extended jumpers. He was really good right there, man. I mean, he was. I thought he was going to be a player. I was wrong on Harrison Barnes. He's going to end up having a 12 or 13, 14-year career. But I thought he could be a better player. I really did. I thought he was going to take that next, you know, ascension into NBA stardom. I thought he would be not necessarily Durant, because Durant's one of the all-time greats,
of course,
but just better than what he is.
By the way, if I could just really irritate you real quick, Butch, the 1995 NBA draft, let me take you back. Joe Smith goes
number one overall.
Yep, Joe Smith goes number one overall to the Dubs. Who needs Antonio McDyess number two, Jerry Stackhouse number three, Rasheed Wallace number four, or Kevin Garnett, number five?
And where'd Damon Stoudamire go?
Yeah, Damon Stoudamire went seventh
okay.
to the Raptors.
Okay.
Also, Theo Ratliff, who was an all-star,
career.
Yeah, went 18th. Michael Finley.
Michael Finley
who we
was
both
so
got
sick.
Love for.
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
He was so
yeah,
sick.
Michael
he
Finley
broke
raw.
Down.
Yep. Yeah,
he was a sick. Good Dallas Maverick.
Yeah, he went 21st in that draft. So, yeah, a lot of guys who ended up having
Rasheed
long
Wallace.
NBA careers.
Rasheed, the reason why I always bring up Rasheed Wallace is because he played the exact same position as Joe Smith. And I'm like, mm-hmm. You're looking at, because he was always like, we need to get a post player. The Warriors need they need somebody they can just dump the ball down to at the block and get a bucket.
How about this name? Big Country, baby. Bryant Reed. Hey, going to the Grizz.
Oklahoma State. Yep. I remember him. Used to break his foot every other year.
Great. A lot of people bring it in on Unsung Warriors. Jose Calderon. Clifford Rozier. I remember Rozier.
44. And then Andrew Duclerc from Florida. Remember him? White boy, number 55.
Dude, Vladimir Radmanovich.
Oh, my God. Number 77.
Yep. B.J. Armstrong. And you know what? As a Chi-Town fan growing up, I love me some B.J. Armstrong. Babyface B.J.
I hated B.J. Armstrong.
How you going to hate B.J. Armstrong?
Because he was garbage.
Yeah. Oh, he was not garbage.
He was garbage.
Dude, when you know what? Okay, he might have been garbage when he was
a champion.
Champion
for the Bulls, yeah. He was great.
Dude, as just like a role player for Chi-Town, I mean, because, dude, B.J. Armstrong, when you would play with Jordan, I mean, they would just leave him open constantly, and B.J. would just make teams pay.
Number 11.
That corner jump shot, B.J. was sick. I love, and he had the baby face.
It's funny how you grow up a Bulls fan, you love him. I grew up a Warriors fan, and I can't stand the guy. Right, okay. I'd get his NBA hoops card, and I'd be like, get this thing out of here.
That's going in the spokes of your Huffy, because we know you couldn't afford a BMX.
And these people that like the Jeremy Lin, does anyone legitimately take a step back? Explain to me when Jeremy Lin played for the Warriors, because when he was a Warrior, he did not play. He was like 2 weeks. He didn't play. Yeah. He didn't play.
Yeah, and then they get rid of him, and then Lin's sanity jumps off.
Exactly. And that was when we thought we were still snake bitten at the time. It's like, really? Right? Jeremy Lin? We have Jeremy Lin? We don't even know?
Oh, by the way, I just got a text. We are championship, no doubt. Remember that?
Oh, at Montauk.
Yeah, of course, come dude. On. And I'll tell you what, you know, when you think about like these players from the bygone eras of the Dubs, it's so much easier now when the team's won 3 of the last 4 titles and is probably going to win 4 in 5 years. It's a lot easier now to lament the Joe Smiths of the world or the Larry Hughes or the Ike Diagues. And, you know, it's just easier now. It's more fun.
The Mike Dunleavy's.
Oh, God. I mean, he was the worst.
The fans booed him when he touched the ball.
Yeah.
Every single time. Not once. Not twice. Not just a couple of... Every time he touched the ball, we booed his face.
Yeah.
Just how he looked.
Well, and the most noteworthy contribution of like 6 years of Warriors basketball was Jay Rich came correct in a dunk contest.
Twice.
You know what I mean?
Hey, yeah. I'll be real.
Okay,
though.
All right.
But so sick. He should have won the third one in the first round.
Well, fair enough. But like my point is,
so sick.
You know, like your franchise is at rock bottom when, you know, that's the most telling thing about an era of your squad.
Yeah, the
is that you had a guy win a dunk contest.
And the rookie sophomore challenge the night before when I don't know if it was Jay Rich or Gilbert threw it off of Boozer's face.
Dude.
Oh, there's so many moments I remember.
And Gilbert, you talk about a personality like
Hibachi, Asian Zero.
The world needs people like Gilbert Arenas. By the way, his podcast is freaking hilarious. So funny. He's great.
There's just too many podcasts.
Oh, I hear you.
And I'm a guy who came up via podcast, but it's just hard to keep up with them all, man.
Well, you came up via podcast?
Yeah.
The Butcher Shop?
That's something I pretended to, you know?
Nah,
fake it till you make it, bro.
Nah, you're good, man.
But
good.
Honestly, like, getting back to this, like, there's so many. Here's the one, like, everyone talks about Vince Carter at the dunk contest in 2000 at Oracle, which was a great moment. But all I kept thinking the entire time while he was doing it was, dear God, Warriors, you drafted Vince Carter and traded him for Antoine Jameson on draft night. Who thinks Antoine Jameson is better than Vince Carter?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's just...
All right. It's the final hour of The Butcher Shop. It's Joe Shasky and Ryan Covey. Of course, coming up here in the final hour, we will play Puff Puff Pass. And by the way, yes, the San Francisco Giants managed to lose a game in which they hit a grand slam. They end up blowing a 5-0 lead tonight and lose to the San Diego Padres. Final score in that game, 6-5. Madison Bumgarner didn't take the loss in the game. He started. Reyes Maranta actually ends up taking the loss in this game. But the Padres come all the way back and win 6-5. And coming into tonight, Butch, I counted up some stats. When the starters are in the game for the San Francisco Giants, that number is going to make you real sad, and I'll give it to you next.
Now back to The Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
What's happening, y'all? It is the final hour of The Butcher Shop. He is Joe Shasky. I'm Ryan Covey. By the way, shout out Kat, my girl, all the way out in New York, listening on the radio.com app. We appreciate your patronage tonight. Good stuff.
What was that app?
The radio.com app, Butch.
Oh, I have that loaded on my phone.
Very well.
It works really well.
If you're out and about and you want to partake in The Butcher Shop, that is definitely one way you can do it. And, of course, all the hours are podcast at 957thegame.com as well. So you never miss a moment.
You're a good team player.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody's pulling on the rope, baby. Come on. As you well know, the San Francisco Giants could use a few more legit players pulling on the rope tonight. They go down to the Padres 6-5. Giants now 1-4 against the Padres, and Giants get out to a 5-0 lead. Kevin Pillar delivers with a grand slam, and then Giants also had a Brandon Crawford RBI single earlier in the inning. They go up 5-0 after the grand salami. Bottom of the fifth, Tatis hits a two-run jack. Then Will Myers goes deep. Tatis scores on a Margot groundout. And then they also get a Reyes bomb as well. And the Padres come all the way back. Giants now 1-4 against the Padres. The grand slam by Pillar, first for the Giants since 2017.
Who was the last grand slam?
I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you were going to come with like a question.
No, I read that it was the first since 2017.
Man, that's sad. I feel like we've got to be one of the,
I'm trying to think.
It's got to be one of the longest
last
droughts.
Last Grand Slam, let's see, 2017. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter because they were terrible that year as well. And I'm looking at this team, Butch, and here we go again, another trade. Tyler Austin has been added to this lineup. He went 1-for-2, scored a run tonight, drew a walk.
So he's got as many hits in one game as Michael Reed and Connor Joe, who were 1-for-21.
You got the obligatory text from me when Connor Joe finally got a knock, because I remember the first night we came out, you're like, I like Connor Joe. He's got something to him. And I'm like, come on, man. So as soon as he finally got a batting average, congratulations, Butcher Boy. Your boy Connor Joe got a batting average.
About time, baby.
There you go. Look, this team's going to suck. I mean, there's just no way around it.
They do suck.
Right. And we're going to just settle on in for a summer of suckage, okay?
Dig into the batter's box.
Right. Here's the deal. When I look at this lineup, and look, fine, Steven Duggar, I know what he does defensively. He's going to have nights like tonight where he goes 0-for-5, still finding his way. I mean, 222 for your leadoff hitter, not good. To me, I don't necessarily have a problem with the infield. I mean, clearly, I think Buster Posey's best days are behind him. And this is not me trying to rip up Buster Posey. It's just the reality of the situation. He's been injured. He's got a lot of miles on him. We know catchers don't have the longest shelf lives anyway. And I don't think, for my money, he hits for enough power where you can shift him to first base and say, that's the answer to Posey's longevity. Like, Posey's value inherently is what he does behind the dish. That's part of what makes him so special. His production offensively, like, a lot of players can bring that to the table, right? So with what he's making and where he best serves this team, it is behind the dish. Now, that's what Joey Bart's supposed to be, the heir apparent. But when I look around the infield, fair enough, okay? Like Longoria, Belt, Crawford, you got a lot of good defense there. Joe Panic, you know, when he's right, he's a solid hitter. To me, the embarrassment is in the outfield, because if you did, like, you know, okay, if some butts were candies and nuts, I get it. But if you got Bryce and, you know, you added another outfielder this offseason, like somebody with some power, and I don't even care if it's a dude that hit for power and hit 230, right? Just some straight-up power, and that was your three and your four hitter, then you can go long, you know, you can go Duggar, Panic, a true three and four hitter, Longoria 5, Belt 6, Posey 7, Crawford 8, pitcher spot 9th. That team could actually do a little bit of damage offensively. And because I think they're starting pitching most nights is going to be okay. It's not going to be elite, but it's going to be all right. And their bullpen is pretty good. I think that it would get you closer to, you know, 500 or maybe even relevancy in the National League than any other path. The corner outfield spots to me, Butch, are the Achilles heel of this team. And quite frankly, they are an embarrassment.
There's no argument here. I mean, it's been that way for 30-something years. They have not been able to develop.
I think Bonds was pretty good.
Yeah, but they got him in free agency. Like,
but I'm just saying, I don't care how you get him. I don't care if you steal him. I don't care if you do a smash and grab from the window at Walmart. Like, get him here.
I hear you. But that's kind of one of the things that Farhan's trying to do right now. And if you just take a step back, which is hard to do, but if you take a step back, what he's doing right now is doing the same thing he did with the Dodgers, in the sense that he's day trading. He's constantly flipping the back end of this particular roster. So that's a 25-man roster. I mean, how many moves has he made in the first 2 weeks? He's made more moves in the first 2 weeks of actually trading people away than the Giants did all last year, right? So he claimed Michael Reed. He claimed Connor Joe. He played those guys. They weren't balling. He was like, all right, I'm not seeing the results. You're gone. I'm going to make a trade for Tyler Austin. I have no problem with how he's operating right now. Like, he's treating the back end of this roster, in my view, like I do a fantasy football roster, where I'm just claiming and waiver wiring and trying to swing. And if I find somebody, great. If I don't, there's no skin lost. Like, the worst thing you could possibly do is just go status quo and not do anything. right? Like, that's the worst thing you could do.
Sure.
So
rest on your laurels.
At least he's trying. Like, that's in L.A. This is why I'm going to swing it back to L.A. When he found guys in L.A. after making all these moves, it was Max Muncy, who everybody gave up on. It was Justin Turner, who everybody gave up on. Now, credit those two individuals for tweaking their own games and taking it to another level.
You're right.
But that's how he found those guys, by making all of these moves. So, I mean, we're just going to have to be patient. And I hate saying that, but it is what it is, and you just have to bite the bullet and kind of realize it's a down cycle.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, by the way, 707 wants to know who the power bat was in 10, 12, and 14, asking for a friend.
Yeah, I'll tell you who the power bat was in 2010. Let's break this down. It was actually a
Pat
home
Burrell.
Run. Pat Burrell had 18 home runs after being claimed after May 1st, okay? Because the Tampa Bay Rays DFA'd him. Andres Torres, your leadoff hitter, hit 16 home runs. That would have led the Giants last year, okay? Buster Posey came up, hit 18 home runs. Before you traded away Benji Molina, he had about 6 or 7 home runs. And then you had Huff and Uribe have damn near career years with 25-plus jacks each. That's a lot of home runs when you look around the diamond.
And if I could just also invoke this little piece of wisdom, 707. First of all, that team had much better pitching than this
Elite.
One does, okay, had comparable bullpens. I would even say maybe a little better. I mean, the core four did what they did, and Major League Baseball was at a very different spot in 2010 and 2012 in particular. And let's face it, 2014, look, man, that was the Madison Bumgarner put this team on his back. I don't even think that Giants team was that good generally, but the reality is all those guys, like Posey was still in his prime then, much younger in his career. There was a lot of different players contributing. Pablo Sandoval was a solid hitter
the
at that point.
The teams were very different. Each championship team was very different.
But the 2018-2019 incarnate of the Giants, they don't have any power. And in modern day Major League Baseball, where you get your power from are the corners. First base, third base, right field, left field. You can get it from other areas, and that's nice. Some teams, when we see Tatis, for San Diego, he's going to be legit. He's got pop, and he's obviously a shortstop, but in reality, the fact that you knew what your team's shortcomings were, the fact that you knew you had an embarrassingly low number of home runs in an era of Major League Baseball where home runs are flying out of the park at record-breaking numbers, and you don't address those two key areas. And guess what? You've got a young stalwart in center field that can cover a lot of ground. Even if it's just one of the corner outfield spots, I don't give a damn if the guy's not going to play any defense and hit 220. Give me a guy that can hit 25 home runs.
Yeah.
Three-run home runs, grand slams, although it didn't happen tonight. Typically, grand slams and three-run home runs, those equate to a team winning a baseball game if you get even remotely close to a good start.
Yeah. 2010, all their big moments in the playoffs were home runs. Cody Ross. Home runs. Remember those off of Roy Halladay? How about Edgar Renteria knocking out and Juan Uribe knocking out the Phillies via the home run? How about in the World Series when Edgar Renteria hit the go-ahead home run in Game 5? Like, again, all the big moments, home runs.
Travis Ishikawa even.
2012. Let's go to that team. Oh, you acquire Hunter Pence, who was a home run hitter at that time.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot Hunter Pence.
Melky Cabrera had like 11 jacks, 11 triples. Like, he hit a lot of power that year, ton of doubles. Buster MVP season, 20-plus home runs. Like, again, this false narrative that the Giants never hit home runs, it's just factually incorrect. Again,
yeah.
I believe me, I want to believe that it was built on pitching and defense, but really, like, in between the margins, surprisingly, those teams actually hit home runs, and if you compare it to the other teams they were playing against, they actually had a good home run total.
Yeah, and, like I said, I mean, the Dodgers last year hit 235 home runs to lead the National League. The Giants hit 133.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, come on. Like,
what does Bellinger have, 7 right now?
Cody Bellinger has 38 home runs right now.
I don't think the Giants have 7 collectively as a team.
Maybe they do now after tonight. But yeah, it's like Bellinger and the Giants as a team, I think, are knotted at 7 apiece now.
Come on. And then, like, even the teams that are struggling, like Houston and the Red Sox, like, just look at their lineups. Look at the lineups. They're ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and my whole point around this is, if you actually had some power in right and left field, like this team, it slots everyone else in such a better spot. And it's not asking Buster Posey to be the cleanup hitter. It's not asking Brandon Belt to be the three. Like, that's not where they're just totally miscast right now. And I think that, you know, when you roll in every day and you see on the lineup card, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be the cleanup hitter, then you go up there like you're kind of, you're swinging out of your skis at that point. Like, that's not what Buster Posey is at this point in his career. And while I understand the dimensions of AT&T Park are what they are, and I will agree that the World Series primarily, especially 10 and 12, were won with defense, clutch hitting, quality starting pitching, and a lockdown bullpen. Those were like the four pillars. Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball in 2012 and Major League Baseball in 2019, totally different. The game's changed.
Well, they're dramatically different. In 2014, which is the most recent World Series.
Which, by the way, is five freaking years ago.
I know, but this is how much the game's changed. The two teams that put the ball in play more than anyone else in Major League Baseball were the Kansas City Royals and the San Francisco Giants, and they made it into the World Series. The two teams that struck out them, well, the Red Sox didn't strike out a lot, but the two teams in the NL that were in the end that struck out the most, the Dodgers struck out more than anyone, but they also hit more home runs than anyone. They were all the way till the end, game seven of a World Series, like back-to-back years. Like, the game's changed. It's dramatically different now. Yep. You got to adjust on the fly. Here's a great example of the ballpark being, is the ballpark too big for the Tampa Bay Rays? Because they came into this yard and they had no problem hitting a dinger on Friday, opening day, over the right center field wall on a frozen rope. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, and I think part of that too, Butch, has to do with when you play here every day, you don't swing for the fences because you know that, whatever you want to call it, the analytics, and in the long run for a lot of these guys, that's kind of a fool's errand. And just over time, you're going to be better served trying to hit into the alleys and trying to hit into the gaps. Whereas teams that don't play here every day, they just stick with their standard approach. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think they're more apt to actually have that home run type swing. You know what I'm saying? Whereas guys that play every day, they know if they go up there trying to swing for the fences, they might hit 25 home runs, but they're also going to bat like 200.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's totally psychologically in their domes. Right. It's like
ownage, baby.
It really
ownage
is
ownage.
I mean, it's mental.
I like to say, ownage is ownage. And when you're getting owned by your park, you're getting owned by your park.
Yeah, totally. But again, good hitters come here and make it look small. And I'm sick of hearing all of the excuses. I just deal in reality. The Giants cannot develop their own hitters. And 707, I funeralized the Giants, and yes, they were dead. Okay? They were dead last year. I was right. You were wrong.
This isn't even a sentence, though, but your boy A funeralized the Giants last year. None credibility. Like, come on. Is that English?
I don't even care. Like, again.
It was a great show that we did, though, that night.
When I funeralized the Giants? Show. Yeah, and I was right. And you know what? You'd be lucky if I came to your funeral and did a eulogy. I mean, geez Louise.
That was also for last season.
Yeah, and they were dead. Did they make the playoffs? Did they go over 500? Did anybody inspire any confidence?
I don't want to die.
R.I.P. to the 2018 San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, kiss from a rose,
wish
baby.
I'd never been born.
Or Seal.
Sorry, I'm just singing Bohemian Rhapsody. Jeff, don't give me that look. If I want to sing on my own show, bro, it's the Butcher Shop, Ryan Covey, Joe Shasky. All right? Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? I think, we're getting,
I need
very
to relax.
Emotional. You do. I need to relax.
I got these, like, stalkers on the text line. They're just like,
you're a big star.
No, not that.
Let's
it's just like,
Puff
come
Puff
on.
Pass.
Come on, people.
About to start a little puff-puff giving this mother.
Man, he's going into convulsions. There he is, breathing. And he's foaming out the mouth, man. Yo, pass that shit. Yeah.
Weed is tight. Weed is tight. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Weed is awesome.
Tight, tight, tight. Yeah.
Yeah, Tuco. All right. The name of the game is Puff Puff Pass. Young Lucas Brazzi, who sleeps with the fishes, is producing the show. He has a bevy of topics, be them pop culture, sports related, or whatever the hell. We'll either buy them or sell them. We will puff on them or pass. Hello, young Lucas.
Hey, guys.
How'd you handle, how did it go in the tourney this weekend, bro?
Yeah, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. I'll tell you right now. Text in 95795. We're smoking on something here in the studio. So this is the truth serum. You have me, your inside source, Lucas Alexander, the producer. I was a starting member on this Warriors World 3v3 tournament. It didn't go great. We'll say that.
I thought you were going to give out your Twitter handle as well.
Yeah.
Lucas Alexander, producer of the show. Text in. Talk to me now.
Hi,
what is your Twitter handle?
5555.
Yeah.
Lucas Alley 212.
Thank you. All right, get at me. At me. At me, ladies. What's happening? He's single and ready to mingle.
Yeah, but text in. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. If you have a question about how the tournament went, if you want to know actually how Guru played, how Bonte coached, how any of these guys stacked up, We'll get into it in a little bit, and I'll let you guys ask some questions. We'll actually talk about how this actually went, because I'll be honest. I did get frustrated. So everyone,
Luke is frustrated.
People clowning on me.
That's a competitor in you.
Yeah. Vontae and Guru clowned on everybody all day without even looking in the mirror one time. But I don't want to get into that now. I think we're also going to have an inside source. I think we're going to hear from Nash in a little bit. Also,
I can't wait.
And we're going to hear from Guru. So we have all sorts of lines coming in. We're going to hear from plenty of sources. Happened out in South San Francisco.
But you guys deserve credit for showing up.
Did we though?
What?
What?
Who gets credit for showing up?
Well, yeah, I mean, man, we need W.
Tons of content for the station.
You're welcome.
You deserve a W there.
You're welcome, station.
And Lucas, I've played with you and I've seen you play ball. You can hold your own.
I'm not worried about being honest.
I know a bunch of people want to talk smack on the internet or maybe in social media posts. It's like, at least you guys showed up and went there. You know, I mean, you guys get credit in my book.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm just keeping
bring
it real.
You W's.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, go ahead.
Sometimes life isn't always about winning and losing, Ryan. It's about how you play the game.
Even in a tournament?
All right, kids, let's get them.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll
get to it in a little bit. We'll get to the basketball stuff in a couple minutes, but let's do some sports here. Chris Davis.
Uh-huh.
With a C.
Which one?
With a C. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not K. Not Crow.
The one who was
the janky one from Baltimore.
Yeah, who was dogging Barry Bonds a few years ago, and since he did that, he's been.
What
ice
did he
cold.
Say about Barry Bonds? I don't know.
Oh,
this
that
story.
He's not legitimately the home run king.
Oh. Wow. Well, you tell me.
Steroids.
Has Barry Bonds ever gone 0-49 in a 49 at bat streak?
Ooh, I would venture to say no. Never. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm going to venture to say no.
Seeing as though no one ever has.
Speaking of Bonds, real quick,
I don't think he has.
They brought him up at the Friday opening day game, and people were chanting, "Put on the jersey."
Nice.
Like, well, literally,
they could use him. I bet he'd be a better. He's better than Connor Jones.
I don't remember.
You don't remember this. Literally right behind us.
So the first, now what was that, 0-49?
So Chris Davis
0
went
for 49.
0-5. Again, this is the Orioles Chris Davis, not the A's Chris Davis. However, they were playing the A's. So Chris Davis went 0-5 tonight against the A's. That makes it 49 straight hitless at-bats for Chris Davis. Okay.
Has he drawn a walk in that span, do we know?
Doesn't matter.
Reach base.
Okay. You know what, man? When you're not swinging it in baseball, that's like one of the hardest things. You start pressing.
Oh, of course.
You're overthinking.
The ball gets smaller and smaller.
I'm going to go to right field this at bat. I'm going to try to pull it. I'm going to try to bunt.
Close your eyes and hope you run into one.
If you've ever had a bad hitting streak in baseball, Lucas, I know you can understand. Like, just because it just happens to everyone. Jeff Gold, I know he would understand. Like, it happens.
Jeff's a pitcher. He doesn't hit.
Yeah, but you hit when you were in high school. Not really. No.
That's a no from him, dog.
Oh, you're like my boy
That's
Guido.
That's a no. That's a big no for me, dog. I got to say no, dog.
Yeah, you're like my boy Guido.
Okay.
It was not good, dog.
So this is what we're going to do.
It's a no for me, dog.
It's a no.
You have 49 at-bats.
Paula, get out of my Vicodin, dog.
Uh-huh. You have 49 at-bats, and if I say, could you get a hit against major league hitters with 49 at-bats?
No way.
None of us could.
No way.
What?
No.
The fact that you think that's possible, that's where the what comes in. Major league hitters only, best major league hitters get one three
I'll
out of ten
I'll give you $100.
Okay, so 3 out of 10, that's what? 15?
For the an very all-star. Best.
Right.
Dude, there's
you
no
don't think
way.
I could just make nope. contact nope. and a ball
not.
Somewhere?
I do not.
I want to take this. I want to take you to Scandia, where they have a pitch machine that goes up to 80
Scandia.
Miles an hour.
I will give
you a $100 bill. If? I want you to get $100 worth of pitches. I guarantee you, you will not square one up right back to the machine. I guarantee it.
How much do you want to bet?
I will bet $1,000 on this.
Wow, we need to get the 95.7 camera crew up there to actually do some real work instead of hating on our people at the Warriors World Tournament. All right.
So if I get what? How many pitches? You're giving me 49.
The 925 says that I'm handing out participation trophies for showing up.
He's right. Right on, Matthew.
Shout out Danville.
They're not trophies. They're ribbons.
By the way, Danville was the spot where I met the dude from my PS4 right there off of Diablo at the Taco Bell.
Family money out that way.
Hashtag family money, as you well know.
Okay, so hold on. We need to set this up. How many pitches am I getting?
I'm giving you a $100 bill. Okay.
Okay. $100 bill aren't pitches.
Yeah, I know, but
comes out to about.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, right. You're gonna get X amount of pitches per session, and this is the other part.
How fast does the machine go at Scandia?
They have one cage will go up to 80, and I don't think you're gonna make much contact coming out of 80.
I played high school baseball.
Yeah,
guys throw 80.
Lucas, you've been removed from baseball for how many years?
I'm playing now.
Against guys who throw 60. Look, what are you talking about?
Okay, but it's not, especially in a cage. In a cage, I can square one up.
You can time it eventually.
Yeah.
Well, in
you're
a cage, you're getting
400
the
pitches.
Hold on. In the cage, you're getting the same pitch over and over.
I agree. But, but just to show the difficulty, and now you mix in, you know, changeups, sliders, curveballs, whatever the repertoire is of the guy that you're facing. Plus, the fact that he could miss his target and almost hit you, which everybody underestimates.
Yes. So, wait, Jeff, you were a pitcher? Wait, like, what level did you pitch at?
Go ahead.
You can jump on the air here.
I was all conference in the Pacific 12 Conference.
See, okay, so you were all conference. So, what would your fastball top out at?
Like, on a great day, 89.
So, you could throw high 80s. Yes.
How many guys say they can hit 89, and how many guys can actually square up 89?
I don't know. Hitting's hard. That's why I
didn't do it. That's what I'm saying.
The hardest thing
it
to do in
hard.
Professional sports. Let me ask you this. How hard do you think you could throw? Like, if we gave you a little time to warm up the old whip, like, because I
Jeff's retired. He doesn't do
so are you done?
Like, I've been throwing with my buddy because he's in a men's league, so I've been dusting off the old wing. So let's go, Lucas.
Dude, because we actually have a guy that's pitched, you know,
this
at the collegiate level. Dude, I'm going to say you can't hit Jeff, okay? I'm going to say you can go in there. We'll give you 49 pitches. We'll let Jeff
No, no, no. 49 at-bats.
Okay, whatever. Okay, we'll give you 100 pitches. I don't know if Jeff can throw 100, though. I'm trying to keep, you know, the whip's got to stay warmed up.
You space it out over how many days. Like
yeah, exactly.
Days
yeah, we got to give him, you know, an off day, let him
four
ice
at bats
and
a day. Four at-bats a day, that's fair.
Lucas is going to pull a hammy halfway through this thing, go
no
on the IR.
No way squaring him up. No way. If he can throw 89, do you have, like, breaking stuff, too?
Absolutely.
All conference.
He's all conference. I mean, he's
Jeff
destroying you. He's destroying you. Sorry, Jeff, I didn't know this about
all
you.
All I have to do
Mama
is get
Rinda,
a hit.
Baby.
One hit, 49 at bat. I think I can do this.
All right.
You might
think
be
I'm
able,
that crazy? That's crazy?
I'm just saying, you might be able to get a Texas leaguer here and there.
That's
but like,
all I'm saying. A bloop is a bloop.
I mean, you know what? Maybe I will rethink my
you don't
position.
Have, not every hit
no,
is a line drive.
Back down from the hot take,
no,
coach.
It's just,
don't, what is it? Don't
it's pivot, don't panic.
Pivot, don't panic.
Choke and poke, baby. Just poke it over the second baseman's head. That's
pivot,
all I have to
don't
do.
Don't panic is my favorite, by the way. That's the great Butcher Boyism. We got to figure this
God,
out, though,
Lucas,
at some point.
I love you. I love the blind confidence that you have right now.
It's borderlining on unfounded arrogance, actually.
I think it's crazy
it's
you don't think I fell on him.
It's the San Rafael.
It's not confidence. It's unfounded arrogance. But it's good. How did the tournament go?
We're getting into this now?
Okay.
I mean, that's what people are here for.
No doubt.
Well, let me open the text line and let me give you opening statements and then I'll go through and answer some questions.
Okay.
I don't know what people want to know, but really, no one looked in the mirror. What did you say? What was the acronym you used? We're lack of talent?
Well, yeah, it's called loft. You have a loft problem. That's what we say in golf. Lack of effing talent.
Okay, so coming into the tournament, we thought we had hope because we had a D2 7-footer on our team.
Right.
Ryan, intern with the morning show.
Big Ryan Dizzle.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Okay?
Great 7-footer. Goes to SF State.
Shot about 1-for-25 over 3 games.
So you're saying Ryan killed him.
I love how he has just become the...
And no, I don't want him to be a punching bag.
Okay.
However...
Okay.
What, you want Guru to be the punching bag?
Imagine you have, like, Carl Anthony Towns against what you presume to be a team of, you know, Patrick Beverley, right? Or opponents full of Patrick Beverley's, a team full of these guys. You have a 7-footer. You think he's at least going to get a couple points for you. I love you, Ryan, but... He shot us out of games. And he stayed on the 3-point line the entire time. It made no sense. I don't want to hate, though. I didn't get the ball, okay? I was starting. I have so much to go for. I was starting.
Let's just be real. I didn't get the ball. That's why we lost.
No. I'm not saying that. I was in there for offense. We had two point guards, Nash, who were going to get in, and me. We are our 2 point guards. I was started for offense to try and get offense going. Uh-huh. Nash is our defensive stopper. So our coach, Fonte and Matt Kolsky, threw me in the starting lineup as the offensive guy.
Okay.
As the point guard, obviously, it's half court, 1st to 8 by 1.
You're more combo guard for me. I don't know if you pass well enough to be a point. That's me teasing you because I always rip you when you don't pass.
Okay, so I get the ball. As a point guard, I start the ball with a check, right?
Uh-huh.
1st to 8.
Who are you going up against in this first round?
It was me, actually, versus Grant Liffman.
You versus Grant Liffman?
This is the
Warriors
outside. Warriors World.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
He's
the Warriors Outsiders team.
Okay.
Against all sorts of good guys. They had a very talented
team.
Did he
size you up, or did you size him up?
Now, we can talk about defensive strategy in a second. I'm going to start on my offense. I pass the ball, right? You pass the ball in, give it to Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Our starting lineup was me, Ryan, and Guru.
Uh-huh.
The three of us started. I'm a point guard. Give the ball in. I saw the ball maybe twice. I took one shot, made a layup, and that was it. After an offensive rebound just to put back.
So you went 1-for-2?
1-for-1.
Oh, that's
my
only shot. I got you. Okay.
Only shot.
So you were 100%.
100%.
They needed to feed you more.
And, you know, I was frustrated, and, you know, I probably shouldn't have been. Bonte was railing on me early because I got pulled. We were down 4-0. Gave up a couple baskets to Grant Lippman in front of me. Now,
Grant's got you on size, though, right? Isn't he
a little bit,
you?
But that was not the problem. Okay. I was told our defensive strategy, and I'm putting this out there. Okay. I don't know that NBA players would do this, but our defensive strategy was to let Grant shoot. There was plenty of other talent around.
Sure.
I was told to slack off, and we want him shooting the ball. That was the strategy. Kolsky can back me up. Ask him. Bonte continues to rail on me for allowing Grant to shoot, and then he yells at me after he pulls me down 4-0. Said pretty much blames me for us being down 4-0.
Okay, Nash in the game at that point?
Ryan, we've got someone who can either corroborate or go against your story.
That's fine.
Line one, who are you?
This is Nash.
Nash Solomon.
Nash? All right, Nash.
Yes, it's me, man.
Nash is... Nash, hold on. Let me set the stage. Let me tell everyone who you are. You are a fellow producer here at 95.7. An absolute pit bull. I said Patrick Beverly is just an example.
He is Patrick Beverly.
I agree. The basketball court. He was our defensive stopper at point guard. I was seen as sort of the offensive mind that... That was the idea.
You can shoot. You're an offensive player. Play with Nash.
Nash
will get all up in you.
Yeah.
Okay, Nash plays super hard defense. He'll die for a loose ball.
And let me preface this by saying Nash was by far the best player on our team. All right, Nash, the floor is yours. How did you see the tournament go?
Well, first and foremost, we got Ryan Covey, Joseph the Butcher Boy Shasky, just slandering us after Joseph Shasky didn't want to play, bailed on the tournament. Ryan Covey, you over here saying we can't hoop, get over our loss. Well, I'm not over it, okay? I'm not over it. My team didn't perform, man. And I didn't perform either. But I will say, the biggest disappointment of the whole tournament, the last game, we're playing some scrubs, man. I say, screw it. Nobody can score. We're just playing D. I iso this dude 4 times in a row. We're up 4-0. Bonte yanked me, man. He yanked me.
So I want to make sure we set the table. So Guru's mad at the jerseys.
And we'll get to Guru in a second.
Lucas is mad he didn't touch the ball.
Yeah.
Nash, you're mad with Bonte and the coaching? Is that correct?
No, I'm not mad at him. He already said he made a mistake pulling me out.
He admitted his shortcomings.
So he's admitted.
By the way, he's admitted
in the post-game presser that he made a mistake on rotations.
By the way, Bonte.
Well, listen.
Hold on. I'll let you finish, Nash. But Bonte texting in right now telling Lucas to keep it 100. Also, he said, terrible, Lucas. So Bonte's clapping back saying that it wasn't the coaching, it was your lack of performance. What say you?
I will defend Bonte on one thing, though.
Sure.
Lucas, you knew we were going to sub out half of the game, so if we're down 4,
no, you're
halfway to 8, man. The sub was coming.
100% right. So I wanted... For all you at home, Ryan Covey is under the table dying of laughter. I was very frustrated just because they didn't get the ball. And you're right, I probably didn't have the right to be frustrated.
3-1.
I didn't have the right.
Guru sound from the Instagram post that he posted today.
Okay, so we're gonna hear this.
Nash, are you still there?
Nash will be here. But
don't go anywhere, Nash.
Nash,
can I ask a question? When Lucas was on the floor with the 7-footer and Guru, who do you blame for the offensive struggles?
Go ahead, Nash.
Well, I don't blame people, man. We lost the end of the day.
Yes.
There you go.
Moving the ball on offense. This is why I'm not an offensive player, and I'm over here isoing guys because nobody knows how to move off the ball.
No, Nash said it right.
We all played bad.
Yeah.
Well, let's all play bad.
Let's hear from Guru, one of the other members of the starting three.
This is him at 24-Hour Fitness earlier today reacting to all the hate directed his way during the day on the station and social.
I was at a tournament. Shout out to Warriors World 3-on-3 this weekend with my fellow comrades in 95.7 again. Shout out to 24-Hour Fitness. I call this the lab, but a lot of y'all out of pocket, especially my video crew at 95.7 again. Y'all going to take 3 games worth of footage and make us look like Revenge of the Nerds? Now, I did shoot air ball. It happened, but not balls. And then they had your boy in a medium jersey, fam. So my swag was not there. But I locked up and played deep. You didn't see anybody scoring on me. You balled out. But I'm a little upset that y'all put that video out of me and my comrades and Jay Bell. Man, I thought you was my dog. You in the comments with the little emoji laughing. I'm getting ready for you, dog. I'm coming. After this off season and y'all get this chip, I'm coming. I'm in the lab, 24-Hour Fitness. Got me in a medium jersey.
Okay, so
Bonte's texting in saying you guys were up 3-1.
Yeah, right. No, the last game. The last game we were up
3-1. By the way, let's be real though. Wasn't the last game like a throwaway game?
Yeah. So
it was like a participation game? So like the two trash teams get to play for nothing?
That's exactly what it was, a consolation game in the first round.
Have fun in the concept, right? How's the NIT version of the Warriors World Tourney going?
Exactly. Nash, I'm gonna give you the floor in a second, but I would like to say this. Whenever the ball went into Ryan's hands or Guru's hands, it was like a black hole. The ball disappeared. And for point guards like Nash and I, what are we supposed to do? Like, we're just sitting there open waiting for a jump shot. We didn't get the ball back.
Well, so can we be honest?
We needed to practice too. I'm with Guru. Everyone's saying that we needed at least one practice.
I thought you were just gonna roll in and win.
Well, here's the thing, Ryan. I would say it is a little unfair because every single team that I've seen through the footage, like, dude, they got ringers. These aren't like just legitimate. These are legitimate studs who all they do is play basketball.
Yeah, this tournament happens every year. Like, these guys, you can tell they look forward to this.
There's like a former G Leaguer out there. Like, come on, dude, that's this skill level is like weird.
Speedy Claxton's nephew.
That's
out
like
there.
Me saying, hey,
shout
guess
out,
what? You guys. Hey, I'm going to bring my buddy Barry Bonds to the softball game. Yeah. You guys cool with that? Like, come on.
The talent was really impressive.
Yeah,
guys were dunking. Guys were, like, just driving by people who were right in their face. The talent was really impressive. Nash, I want to ask you a question. After watching Guru for an afternoon, now think about his matchup against Jordan Bell. Could he even touch rim on a shot in a one-on-one game against Jordan Bell, let alone scoring?
Daryl the Guru Johnson is stronger than Jordan Bell. He's getting a bucket.
Wow. Quick kiss his ass.
I mean, what are you, like, his cousin? What is
seriously.
I gotta give off
Nash Johnson?
I gotta say.
Did he give you a stash of Blue Chew?
I need some.
You're young. I hope you don't need some.
All right, Nash.
Guru said the realest thing. I got to say one last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Our video crew at 95.7 The Game, Carl, I'm mostly talking about
Tony.
Chiefs. How are you going to put together a highlight tape? Literally clowning us, man. We balled that last game. I didn't get one highlight. I don't need that. But we got Tommy Call breaking his glasses on a putback to take the lead. You don't even put that in there. You're just trying to embarrass us. Man, do we really even work with you? I'm out.
Wow.
Rack him.
Flames.
Rack him. Give him the chop. Give him the chop. My goodness.
I love Bonte just clapping on the text line so hard, too.
I love that Bonte's up at 11 o'clock at night listening to us at home.
He knew
that's
we were
cool.
getting into it. He heard the tease 2.5 hours ago.
Oh, he did, huh?
Of course, man.
That's why you tease, bro.
So Lucas, since Nash said that he would get a bucket, is Guru getting a bucket on Jordan Bell?
No. I don't even
You're
think...
You're not getting a hit on Jeff, and Guru ain't getting a bucket on Jordan Bell.
Jordan Bell's 6'8".
Yeah, and he's 10.
He plays in the freaking NBA.
This is what it is.
I'm not even.
He's half the age of Guru. Like,
exactly.
Guru is in great shape. He's a great athlete.
But he's
for
in
how
his 40s.
Old he is.
Exactly. Jordan Bell plays for the freaking Golden State Warriors.
And
it's like me saying, hey, I could beat Tommy Fleetwood and Rory McIlroy this weekend
here.
At Harding Park. Like, come on,
it's
just not going to happen.
The argument for Guru touching rim would be taking a deep jump shot and touching rim. But the thing with Jordan, he's so athletic and so quick, he could be right up in him guarding the jump shot, and Guru couldn't get by him. So,
all right, hey, you know what? Do me a favor. Let's get Guru on the show tomorrow night so we can settle this, okay?
Yes.
Can we reach out to Guru?
I mean, he was
on
everyone else's show, clowning everybody else on the roster. I thought I'd finally get to set it straight.
He blamed the jerseys. He blamed the 7-footer.
I don't know
what.
He blamed the refs. There's literally nothing he didn't blame.
Was his flagrant foul that vicious?
I mean, it was a great hard foul. He would not have gotten kicked out in
an NBA. Foul to pick up
he had to set the tone in the third and final game of our tournament.
All right, we got to get out of here. I love y'all, man.
Great segment, 95.7 history.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Good
great
stuff.
Great job. Hey, Lucas,
yeah, seriously.
I'm proud of you.
Hey,
on the
thanks
real.
To Nash
I love
and Bay and Guru.
And
y'all.
Tommy Call.
And not the 95.7 The Game videographers. Come on, man, where y'all at? All right, thanks so much to Sam Amick. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Butcher Shop out. Just be good to each other.